Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now it's time for Trista Crick.
Because the Bulls are still wanting to compete. I was like, compete for what? The Bulls are like that friend that you know that has zero desire to elevate in their job.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What the f***? Oh man, I am Trista Crick, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers here on 670 The Score. Did I just get a promo? Did I get Robbie Triano giving me a promo on my first show ever? Did I get an intro from the great Steve Rosenblum? If you're listening, you're probably like, who the hell is this on my radio right now? So I guess I got to introduce myself a little bit. I'm Trista Crick. I've been on with Bernstein and Holmes, along with Layla, doing some guest spots. Always a blast. I also host a show, a betting show, Monday through Friday, called BetMGM Tonight, which actually also airs on The Score weeknights from 9 to 10 when there's no Bulls games or Cubs games. NBA fans maybe know me on the internet for some hot takes or the podcast called The Heat Check. But I've got a lot of opinions, folks. And I am here, as you saw from that promo, I'm here to say them, and I've got a ton of opinions about Chicago sports. I am so fired up. I am so fired up from the perspective of someone who did not grow up in Chicago. I didn't grow up here. I have none of the baggage, none of the generational trauma that y'all have on this station. Man, we got a good show today. I'm so excited. We got Lawrence Holmes on from Bernstein and Holmes. He's on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 670 The Score. He comes on at 3. We'll talk about what he expects from this year's Bears season and this team. Very exciting stuff. The defense could be top 5, could be top 10. Who knows? Montez Sweat, huge trade. Love that. Secondary, very exciting. Lots of IG posts about this secondary. I also want to get Lawrence's perspective on what he thinks the biggest issue is for the Cubs and whether those issues are fixable. I don't want to, leave the tease for you to take up or not. But, like, I kind of think the Cubs are going to be all right. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about the expectations of the Bears in terms of what I think that they should be right now. Whether all of this puts undue pressure on Caleb. We'll talk about that at 2:25. We'll talk about Hard Knocks and all the other things. Hall of Fame game. London game. How does that put undue pressure on this team? And then in the second hour, we'll talk a little bit about the Cubs. Third hour, we'll talk about Caitlin Clark versus the Sky. She's already getting bodied. Boy, oh boy, was that a matchup. She's getting hip checked. It was an electric game. I think the rivalry is already here. And then we'll talk a little NBA finals, what that means for the Bulls. So 312-644-6767. The outsider's perspective on the inside, on the Bears. So there's a lot of hype right now around the Bears, like excitement, a lot of anticipation. Like I said, the defense, we're getting IG posts on the secondary. Like, oh, yes, oh, my goodness, like top five. Like, you never get IG posts, by the way, like on the secondary. That was crazy when I saw that the other day. Some people think that success looks like a double-digit win team. A lot of reactions about how Caleb Williams is doing in OTAs. Oh, he was bad in this OTA session because none of his receivers were there. And then, oh my God, Caleb Williams, 13 for 15 on 7-on-7. By the way, none of the defense was there. So, like, both of those reactions, extremely skewed. So as someone from the outside looking in, without a single dog in this fight, I do not care how it works out. I just think that you need, as a fan, to really take a little bit more perspective about this season and say, you got the one. You found her. You know? Like, the one you want to lock down, the one you want to give a ring to, like, that's, she's here, folks. Like, Caleb Williams is here, and you've put a ring on it, and the hand looks beautiful. It's got incredible incredible nails, and the manicure is always short, sharp. You have a generational quarterback, folks. Like, that's kind of it. That's, like, that's everything that everyone wants, right? That's everything that I tried to tell the Giants when I was on WFAN. The Giants, this Caleb Williams guy, he's coming around in 2 years. Maybe you should stink. Danny Jones, not good. Caleb Williams, he's the one. So I think you've got the first generational quarterback since the 1950s, where you can legit say at some point soon, you have a serious chance of winning. When was the last time you could say that, Bears fans? I can't remember one. I can't remember one. You're coming up on the 40th anniversary of your last Super Bowl. You have not adapted and found a modern quarterback who can make all the throws. Caleb Williams is the one. He can make all the throws. And right now, Caleb Williams ranked 19th quarterback, right? I want to give a little bit of perspective into other quarterbacks that are the one, a.k.a. Joey Bree, right? Joey Burrow. He comes in. Caleb Williams is the 19th ranked quarterback. Joe Burrow, in his rookie year, 16th ranked quarterback, according to PFF. And he gets mauled in his first year, right? He has no protection. Joe Burrow, not enough weapons. He doesn't have a defense. They were ranked in that year 22nd in the league. And they went to the Super Bowl the very next year. And this Bears team is better, in a better position in every way than that Bengals team. You've got a better O-line. Caleb's going to have a preseason top 10 ranked O-line. Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, who's going to be awesome on Hard Knocks, by the way. Ryan Bates, Nate Davis, Darnell Wright. He's going to have better weapons than Joey B. He'll have one of the best route runners with some of the best hands in the league in Keenan Allen. He'll have a playmaker in DJ Moore. Very dynamic, who can go a bunch of different places on the field. Like, DJ Moore is going to have more opportunities than he's ever had, because now he has Keenan Allen with him. And then you got Rome Odunze, who, believe me, as someone who went to Oregon, saw a lot of Rome Odunze, and he's really freaking good. Really freaking good. DeAndre Swift, oh my goodness. Like, it's just a plethora, an embarrassment of riches. And so I get that that's like a scenario where maybe you want to put undue expectations on a rookie who is transcendent. But, like, even Joe Burrow in his first year was not transcendent, and the team stunk. So from an outsider's perspective, I don't care about these expectations, and I don't think you should care either. I don't care about the outcome. What I care is, don't do anything, the media, the fans, don't do anything to F this up with Caleb, right? Like, she said yes, the engagement's on, the marriage has a date. Do not screw up the development of Caleb Williams. Do not bash him. Do not say a damn thing about what he decides to do with his fingernails. Do not make any jokes about his cleats being high heels. Don't do any of that, because you got the one. Caleb Williams is so good, so transcendent, so poised. He was like 16 years old living in Chocolate City in an apartment by himself on like U Street. And if you know U Street, it is popping. And Caleb Williams did the damn thing. Like, you got yourself a Joe Burrow type. You got yourself a Pat Mahomes type, a Josh Allen type. Caleb Williams can make every throw in the book, folks. So no matter what happens, just allow Caleb Williams to blossom. Like, the plant's in the ground, you see a bud, don't rip it out before it flowers. You know what I'm saying? You could win, because it could look like success early with all these expectations. Remember the Giants 2 years ago? They won 10 games. What'd they do last year? 6 games. Can't mess around and rush the process, baby. The Bengals won four games in 2020. Four. I'm not saying the Bears are going to win four games this year. But, like, if they do, do not trip. You got the one. The one is here. Joe Burrow got hurt that year. Even still, tough rookie campaign. They go to the Super Bowl the very next year. It's exciting stuff right now. 10 wins. To say 10 wins is crazy. That's insane. The win total right now is 8.5. But also, the Bears are the most bet team to miss the playoffs right now, using BetMGM plus 105 to miss the playoffs. But your defense led the league last year in interceptions. The secondary, do we even need to continue to say how swaggy this damn secondary is, where it's getting its own post? Like, it's on my IG feed more than, like, men with 8-pack abs, right? Like, that's where it is. I love the secondary. Love Jalen Johnson. Love Stevenson. You put Jaquan Brisker with Kevin Byard to this core. He has a knack also for taking the football away. I think the secondary's going to be nasty. But the thing that would be even nastier than the secondary is you putting those expectations on, Caleb. I don't think that's a good idea, folks. I really don't. 312-644-6767. I tell you what, Robbie, I don't know what to say, but, like, the excitement and the hype is here. We've got, and we'll talk about it next segment, we've got the London game, we've got the Hall of Fame game, and we've got a full off season of Hard Knocks, or as I like to say, Hard Knocks, Hard Knocks. If that's how sexy Hard Knocks is going to make the Bears seem. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next segment. But the expectations are right here. And as soon as you watch Hard Knocks, you're going to think the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl.
So, Trista, I'm also an outsider here. I'm from Detroit. So I've been working with the score for about almost a year now. I will say that as much as I believe in you in thinking that, yes, we should not get on our high horse, or Bears fans should not get on their high horse and expect greatness early, I will say the expectation is to get on that high horse and to have those expectations early. So I agree with you, but I think that that is easier said than done here. People here are starved for success.
What about Caleb? What's he saying about his expectations?
What's the reason to duck? It's here. You know, there's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year, you know, special teams, all the new roles, whatever, you know, it's we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen, and there's no reason to duck, you know, attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
No need to duck. That's the sign of a winner. You know what I mean? Like, he wants the expectations, but don't do it. Like, I don't want you getting into his mentions if he throws two interceptions. Like, I know that there's a lot of scar tissue with Justin Fields, but let that go. What's your ex got to do with me? You know what I mean? Like, don't hang on to the past when it comes to Caleb. I'm trying to tell everyone out here that you have the thing that every team wants, and the only thing you can do is just watch it turn in to what you know that it can be, which is Josh Allen, which is Joe Burrow, which is there's a lot of Pat Mahomes comparisons, but this man can do everything in the book. As he has said many times before, and he said this with the Pivot podcast, I can do anything at all times that is the best for my team in any circumstance. And that's where I think we have to be in this process, is just not rush it, not worry about throw to throw, not worry about game to game. Because I went through the schedule, Robbie, and the schedule is not easy. And we'll talk about the NFC North in general a little bit later in the show. But it's tough. You have two teams that probably could have gone to the Super Bowl right in your own damn division. And maybe the Vikings, who have a really good defense. And then you've got J.J. McCarthy there, which I really think is a big wild card. Do we have any calls right now? Because I can't see them.
We got one. We got Dave from Chicago. Dave from Chicago, you're on the score.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, as far as the Bulls are concerned, I think people are making too big a deal about ripping up the team. And I don't think it's as easy as people make it sound. I don't think it's like your friend that's not motivated to get a job or a better job. You've got a group of guys that have improved a ton over the past year. And you've got a group of guys that are good guys. And there's two things if I'm an owner that I want.
Dave, you work for the Bulls, Dave.
Hold on a second.
We're right in the Bears talk.
Hold on. Let me finish up here. If I were to own the Bulls, there's two things I would want. I want good people working for me, and I want to be able to make money.
Oh, we could go so – cut him, Robbie. I could go so long with this, but we're not going to. What I will say really fast on – we're not going to just make this about the Bulls. We'll make this about sports in general. Let's go a little bit more higher level, a little bit more like bird's eye view. If you are in sports to make money and that's your primary perspective, I don't want you as an owner. Like, I don't want you. I don't want that. I want somebody who's trying to win games and trying to get rings. That's the game. Like, that's just like saying, oh, well, you know, I sell snack food and I don't care if it gives little kids cancer. My profit margins are huge. No. Like, we need sports owners to care about winning. Good people, awesome. That's great. Profit margins, that's always going to happen in a sports town like Chicago. I mean, you look at the UC, it's the number one arena in terms of like attendance. It doesn't matter if this is a play-in team, not making the playoffs, or like a number one seed. Doesn't matter. That's always going to be what it is. But if you're an owner and you don't care about winning, or that's not on your list, like, I think you just need to sell the team probably. I'm not saying that's what it is right now, but I'm saying, Dave, you're kind of effing with my mojo right now. We literally just, have you ever had a friend where you're like on one topic and they just decide to derail everything that you're doing? That was Dave right there. So we can reset. This is Trista Crick on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers on 670 The Score. Like I said, you've heard me on Bernstein and Holmes along with Layla. But in terms of the Bears, we can talk a little bit about this Hall of Fame game / Hard Knocks down the road, like next segment. But in general, I just think we pump the brakes. Like, I just think the win total right now is 8.5. And I have to tell you, if you've put your money on the over on that 8.5, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying I hope you don't need that money. Like, I hope that's not anything inside your 401k. I hope that's not something that you're really, like, waiting around for. I have penciled. Just the division's too tough, Robbie. Like, it's too. I think it's 7 wins. I think it's 7.
I think the NFC North, it could be the best division in all of football. I mean, the Lions are, like, they just went to an NFC title game, and it's also my team as well. The Packers, Jordan Love is ascending. You have one of the best head coaches in all of football. The Bears are there. They're right in that mix, but, like, there's two other really good playoff teams in the division.
On top of that, you've got, I think, when you look at coaching and offensive coordinators. I really like Shane Waldron, by the way. Like, I didn't mention that, but if you look at what Shane Waldron did with Geno Smith and what that offense for Seattle looked like, really good offense. Actually, I think it was like top 8 Seattle was when he was there. So you look at just the excitement, but then you've got Dan Quinn and you say to yourself, like, does Eberflus stack up to Dan Quinn? I don't know. We're going to have to see. All right, let's go to break here. 312-644-6767. Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. Does Hard Knocks put undue pressure on the Bears and the expectations? Or is this actually something that might be good for the Bears and putting them on the national spotlight? 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be back right after this.
You think Caleb is well suited for this? Do you think Caleb, as a rookie quarterback, is uniquely suited for something like this because of all the focus that's been on him for so many years?
Yeah, I do. I do. I really do. And that's a very good point. And I do think he's suited for that because he's comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is. And again, he's been out there for several years in terms of, you know, in the media, in the focus, the Heisman winner, all those things that he's done. And he'll be good.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm Trista Crick on 670 The Score. That was Bears head coach Matt Eberflus talking about how he's completely unworried about rookie Caleb Williams being in the limelight on Hard Knocks. I talked about how important it is. I'm just going to start saying it like that. I actually was walking around my apartment yesterday, or my house yesterday, just saying that in different ways. Because there's so many different emotions that you can bring. I think it was Matt Eberflus who says Hard Knocks crazy. And so when I heard that, I thought to try out different tonalities. But we talked about how important it is to temper expectations of this team this year. And we talked about that last segment. And if you missed it, push the rewind button on your Odyssey app because I think it was pretty fire. But nothing is going to raise expectations of a team and what you think their upside is. And like, it's not just about their upside that you think that they could maybe achieve. It's like what you think the reality is maybe of their floor, right? Like what you think is their absolute upside right now, you're going to think is pretty mediocre come September 1st. Nothing raises expectations quite like Hard Knocks. It's going to create Hard Knocks. It's what they do, right? Like NFL Films is so good at editing everything bad out and putting only good things in. Do you remember watching Aaron Rodgers and the Jets last year? I don't like Aaron Rodgers at all. I never have. And I was watching Hard Knocks, and being like, this man is the best leader I've ever seen. And I kept talking to friends, is it just me or is Aaron Rodgers just way more charismatic than you thought he ever was? They had the head, the narrator of Hard Knocks on there, and he was talking to him about, hey, go up, talking to his teammates, hey, go up to him, like Liev Schreiber or whatever. Hey, like you gotta make this guy feel welcome. Like you get sucked in. There were no conspiracy theories. There were like no Joe Rogan takes. You will believe by the end of Hard Knocks that the Bears are going to win the NFC North, that they're going to make some sort of magical run to the Super Bowl. Maybe they'll be the next Houston Texans. Caleb Williams is going to hit the ground running. He's going to be the next Pat Mahomes his rookie year. The defense is instantly giving you 84 Bears vibes. Like, even if the offense struggles, our defense is going to carry us all the way. Do not get sucked in. I am begging you, folks. From a betting perspective, I promise, the money right now, the win total for the Bears is at 8.5. I bet you by the time this thing ends, by the time Hard Knocks is over, 10.5 wins will be what the win total is. That is how good this NFL Films crew will be at making Caleb Williams look that good. Like Roma Dumze will be catching everything. You're going to get all of this like highlight package. Keenan Allen will look like the best route runner you've seen in 3 years. His injuries will somehow go away. No bad throws will be shown. So I'm telling you, I've got some thoughts about why Hard Knocks is a good thing for this team, but there is a flip side to it. There's another side of the coin. There's a dangerous game that could be played for Bears fans with Hard Knocks. So don't do it. Do not get sucked in to the hype here. Let's go to Robert in Kenosha on the Bears' expectations. What's up, Robert? You're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Trista. Nice hearing you on your own show now.
Thank you.
I was listening to you guys talk about the Bears, and the expectations, but also the strengths of the team. And I looked at the first 6 weeks of the season before they go on the bye, and every team that they play, except for the Rams, has a young quarterback. And if the secondary of the Bears is as good as many of us think it is, and Matt Eberflus has the defense play it at a top five, while the other teams are going to try to confuse our young quarterback, we're also going to confuse the other team's young quarterback. And I don't see anybody else's defense, except maybe Houston's, as being as good as ours in a matchup against each other. And so I would think that with the Bears' young quarterback learning, but also having a lot of veterans on the offensive side of the ball, we would be very competitive in probably all six of those games, especially now that Aaron Donald is no longer playing for the Rams. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that our punter last year was the worst in the league, and we drafted the best punter this year in the draft. And so that change in field position is going to give our defense a good opportunity at getting a lot of turnovers from these young quarterbacks, and also pinning them down so that we can flip field position, one thing that Matt Eberflus loves to do. And
I love Robert. I love the enthusiasm. I love the punter commentary. Honestly, I didn't expect that. Really. So I had, when I was looking at the schedule, I had the Bears 3-3 after six games. And I know this is a little granular, but I think at home, at the crib, game one, you could beat the Titans. But let's not sleep on what the Titans are and what they've been doing. I know their win total is 6.5, but they have done the damn thing in the offseason in terms of getting our man some weapons here. So I like the Bears to get that win. But you do have Tony Pollard. You've got D-Hop. You got Mike Williams. There's a lot to like there. I still think Bears come out with that one. You're not getting that win against the Texans, baby. You're not getting that. C.J. Stroud's the real deal. The offense has only gotten better, and their defense with D'Amico Ryans is really, really good. Colts is a total wild card spot for me. You could have an awesome version of Anthony Richardson. This offense could look great. Jonathan Taylor could play awesome, or the Bears could pick him off, and he could look like, you know, a guy coming off of a serious injury. So that's kind of like a toss-up, but let's just call that a W. Rams at home, I'm calling an L. That offense is stacked. Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell, Kyren Williams, and I don't think the Rams defense has really stepped back that far. And I know Aaron Donald's transcendent talent, but they still have a lot of talent on that defense. And honestly, that Rams offensive line is really, really scary this year. Then you'll get the win against the Panthers for sure. And then it's kind of a wild card with the Jags. But I think probably the Jags take another step, and probably Trevor Lawrence comes back to himself a little bit. So I think it's 3-3, honestly. I think it's 3-3. Robbie, you said you got a question.
Yeah, he brought up a good point about like the quarterbacks the Bears are going to face this year. And I think the Bears' schedule actually lines up really well. There's no Mahomes. There's no Lamar. There's no Josh Allen. There's no Justin Herbert. I really do think, and the question for you is, who is the hardest quarterback the Bears are going to face this year? In my opinion, it's either C.J. Stroud or Jared Goff. Which one puts more fear into you?
Oh, I think it's probably C.J. Stroud at the crib. I mean, obviously you play the Lions twice. And you're gonna get Jared Goff at home in the winter outside. That's W, I think. I mean, you already almost beat the Lions twice last year. Beat them once, gave that second game away. So I think it's probably C.J. Stroud. And I know the Cardinals aren't very good, but I think we're kind of sleeping on Kyler Murray coming off of injury, and Marvin Harrison Jr. And if that defense excels at all, I think the Cardinals are a very interesting wild card team that we have no idea, and very low expectations in terms of what they're going to be. Back to Hard Knocks. I think it's going to be really good for the Bears nationally, because let's be honest, I think the Bears in general and Chicago sports as a whole are kind of overlooked and slept on. I think in the national media, you're not getting any A-block segments on the Bears on NFL Countdown in the past. And why really would you? And I like Justin Fields fine, but I think what you're going to see is a lot of segments and hype and a lot of highlights and a lot of promos on Caleb Williams and what the Bears are doing, right? Does that put more pressure on this team? Like, does it put you in the – does the national spotlight put a target on your back from other teams and in terms of just putting undue expectations on you? Sure. I think probably Caleb Williams has the most, quote-unquote, pressure on him more than any rookie we've seen. And I actually can't remember how long. Like, you got Baker Mayfield on Hard Knocks, but he was playing for the Browns, okay? Like, that's – this. Let's not act like this team had the same record last year that the Browns had when they got Baker Mayfield with the number one overall pick. But I think Caleb Williams is up to the task of the pressure. Because you don't see, like I said, you don't see First Take talking about the Bears, and they're going to. So Caleb Williams, to me, makes this Bears team relevant, and also all the other things, right? Rome, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, the defense. Like, this team is sexy, and that's why I say Hard Knocks. Like, because that is it's like a sexy team, and it has made – Hard Knocks has made the Bears – culturally, nationally relevant in a way that Aaron Rodgers made the Jets culturally and nationally relevant. We were getting Jets segments on every national network, like, for the entire summer until this man tore his Achilles. We thought this team, this Jets team, was going to win the AFC, and they had no offensive line. And we knew they had no offensive line. We knew that Elijah Vera Tucker was like all they had. And so I think not just Hard Knocks puts this team in the national spotlight, but now you get the Hall of Fame game a full 8 days before anybody else plays a preseason game. How is that going to affect this team? Because can you really evaluate all of your talent in a way in the timeline that you were normally expecting? No. Are there guys that you fall in love with that maybe you evaluated too early? Maybe. Are there guys you move away from? So there's a lot there. And then the London game too. The London game is all three of these events, all three are ones that teams try to avoid. And I bet you the Bears organization would have said no to Hard Knocks if they could, because it's extra limelight, it's extra pressure. But this is one of those scenarios where, are you ready? Kind of like the WNBA right now. Are you ready for the spotlight? Let's see. All right, let's go to Tracy out in Naperville. Tracy, what's up? You're on 670 The Score.
Pleased to meet you over the radio.
Hi.
I've been a Bear fan since they were playing in Wrigley Field. That shows you how old I am. And
nice.
What I'd like to say is that when just to set this up, when you go for a job, you expect to say, take the same test. Two people going for a job, they expect to take the same test. If you were to take Caleb Williams out of the position he's in now and plug Fields into it, how do you think he would do?
I think he would be pretty good, honestly. I think this is a winning situation, and it's an interesting question. And I think if you look at somebody like Jalen Hurts, thank you so much for calling in, Tracy. If you look at Jalen Hurts, we thought Jalen Hurts couldn't throw to one side of the field. And then all of a sudden, Devontae Smith excelled. He, you know, got another year of development, and then you got A.J. Brown, a real deal big body receiver. You have to surround, of course, quarterbacks with talent, unless you've got somebody like Pat Mahomes, where you say, you know, F it, we'll just give you anything, and Travis Kelce, and we'll see how you do, and you win a Super Bowl. I think Justin Fields would have been fine in Chicago. But when you fall asleep at night, Tracy, by the way, these accents have been awesome. I feel like I've been getting some, like, non-Chicago accents, which is awesome. Fine with it. He kind of didn't sound like he was from the Deep South, Tracy. I think if you fall asleep at night and you're looking up at your ceiling, and I tell you, you can either have Justin Fields or you can have Caleb Williams. Who are you taking? And I think most people, like 99 times out of 100, they are taking Caleb Williams. Absolutely. No shade to Justin Fields. Great spot in Pittsburgh. And he credits the Bears for helping him land in a winning place. So good stuff. But like, that's not how job interviews go, by the way. You don't evaluate people off the same thing. Sometimes you take somebody who's a little bit more raw because they have higher upside. Sometimes you take people who have a higher floor. It just depends on the position. It depends on the people evaluating. And as much as I love Justin Fields, I am effing stoked for Caleb Williams because he is going to bring this team to a place that it has never ascended to before. I think we got to get to break, don't we, Robbie? I think we do. So let's go to break. The number is 312-644-6767. What is a reasonable expectation for the Bears next season? What would success look like? And how do the Bears stack up to the NFC North and the NFC in general? We'll talk about that coming up next.
It was good. You know, people always talk about, you know, success, and they think it's a straight line, you know, from here going that way. And success really isn't that, as we know, because there's bumps in the road, right? So it's always going to be here and then a little bit wavy, right? And then it'll be here. It's going to be like that. And that's really what a football season is, or even a individual career is like that. So there was some learning moments in there during the course of the week. It wasn't perfect, but again, there was progress. And I thought this week was better than last week. And that's the positive.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Coming. Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. That was head coach Matt Eberflus on what success looks like in general. Very philosophical, by the way, I feel like. And also managing expectations, which means if there's any win total regression, 7 wins to 6 wins. Just know success is not a straight line. Every year, we're not always going to go up. Sometimes you got to go 2 steps forward and then 1 step back and then 2 steps forward again. So I think that's actually fair. We've been talking about Bears this first hour. I actually said in segment one at 2 p.m. that I don't think expectations really should be a part of this first year because you've got Caleb Williams. He's the one. He's the one you want to spend your life with. He's that transcendent quarterback. He's the franchise quarterback. So having those expectations year one is kind of silly considering that you're already in a better place as a football organization than maybe like 23, 24 teams maybe. I mean, there's only a handful of franchise quarterbacks. And I don't want to put that on him right now, but that we know that's what he's capable of. So we talked about that in segment one. If you missed it at 2 p.m., go back, hit the rewind on the Odyssey app, or find it, I think, wherever you get your podcast at some point. I'm not actually sure if we're podcasting. Oh, we are podcasting this. Wherever you find your podcast. And then actually at 2:25, we talked about just some of the outside noise facing the Bears, a.k.a. Hard Knocks. That's going to be all off season long, baby.
That's going to make me laugh and every time.
Good. That's what it's supposed to do. My mom always says, beat the dead horse and then beat it some more. You know, it's always, even when it's not funny, it comes back to be funny again. So Hard Knocks is there. You've got the Hall of Fame game there. You've got the London game there. So we talked about that at 2:25. Find that. I think that that's actually a good thing nationally for the Bears, really, because I think it's been a little bit disrespectful how little coverage the Bears have been getting. But right now, let's talk about what a reasonable expectation for this team could be. If we're putting aside expectations and we say, like, all right, what is at least like a happy outcome look like? I think it's exactly what you got last year. Seven wins. I think anything more than seven, you should be elated. Double digits, it's outrageously good. 312-644-6767. Like I said, expectations from Bears fans who I talk to all the time have been all over the place. I've got Joe O. Joe O thinks this team is going to majorly regress. He is so far down betting against the Bears under on the win total and has been talking about it since that win total came out. You've got other people who think double-digit wins are absolutely an expectation. Some people think the improvement on the offense is enough. Some people want this team to win the division. To win the division in Caleb Williams' first year is an outrageous, asinine expectation. So let's talk really fast about how the Bears stack up to the NFC North as a whole. I think it's a slugfest. You've got two teams that were almost in the Super Bowl. The Packers were up multiple scores on the Niners. The Lions up multiple scores on the Niners. And the Lions are no longer that easy to win on the schedule anymore. They are a powerhouse, baby. They are stacked. I think they might have one of the best offenses in the league. And I think Jameson Williams is only going to get better now that Josh Reynolds isn't there. They continue to draft well. Their defense is getting better. Their secondary, while not as sexy as the Bears' secondary, is getting there. They continue to fill the holes that they need. They're the monsters now, right? But also, the Packers, all of a sudden, when we thought that they were going to go and have some Ice Age years, they find themselves another franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. They were up, like I said, in the fourth quarter against the Niners in the divisional championship game. They're the youngest team in football. And then you've got, and I think the Packers only get better because they struggled in the first part of last season. And then you have the Vikings, who, with Brian Flores, elite defensively, really took a step. You still have Justin Jefferson there. You still have Jordan Addison there. You still have TJ Hawkinson there. So the division is very tough. If you go 3-3 in the North, I think it's a good year. I think if you go 4-2 in the North, you should be elated. So in the North, I think you're 3-4. I think that's where the Bears stack up. How do the Bears stack up in the NFC in total? This may be not a bit of cold water, but like you're seventh. That's just what it is. You've got the Niners, who are 12-5, and they went to the Super Bowl. They're going to be the team to beat. Are they injuries away from taking a step back? Sure. They're going to always have the target on their back when they've gone to, you know, two NFC title games in 3 years. You've got the Rams, that I think should be even better, 10-7. You've got Cowboys, 12-5. I think they take a step back, but not enough to be out of the playoffs. You've got the Eagles, who I think will be better. They went 11-6. But that, let's be honest, the Eagles were a dumpster fire last year. Like, I think they all hated each other. I think A.J. Brown at points wanted off that team. DeAndre Swift certainly didn't want to be there. The secondary was god-awful. It was weird. Like, the Eagles were weird last year, and they still won 11 games. Packers, 9-8, they will be much better. That's a double-digit win team. And their offense, I think, is going to be really interesting with Josh Jacobs. You've got the Lions, who are going to be just as good, if not better, 12-5. And then you've got the Buccaneers, which I think probably is kind of the demarcation line of the Bears. If you can achieve what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers achieved last year, who I think may fall down the standings a little bit with Baker Mayfield, I think if you could go 9-8 and get into the wild card and find yourself against a team that's in organizational dysfunction like the Eagles, who knows? That's not even accounting, though, for the 1-2 surprise teams that always show up. So I think you're seventh. Wild, wild west out there. So let's actually hit some break. We got Lawrence Holmes up next, though, from Bernstein and Holmes, 10-2, 312-644-6767. Let's see what Lawrence has to say. Maybe he's been listening. Maybe we got to get him up to speed and see if I'm out of touch in terms of how we should be having our minds wrapped around what we expect for the Bears next season. Trista Crick here. We'll be back right after this.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And up next.
It was good. You know, people always talk about, you know, success, and they think it's a straight line, you know, from here going that way.
And success really isn't that, as we know, because there's bumps in a row, right? So it's always going to be here and then a little bit wavy, right? And then it'll be here. It's going to be like that. And that's really what a football season is, or even a individual career is like that. So there was some learning moments in there during the course of the week. It wasn't perfect, but again, there was progress. And I thought this week was better than last week. And that's the positive.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Coming. Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. That was head coach Matt Eberflus on what success looks like in general. Very philosophical, by the way, I feel like. And also managing expectations, which means if there's any win total regression, 7 wins to 6 wins. Just know success is not a straight line. Every year, we're not always going to go up. Sometimes you got to go 2 steps forward and then 1 step back and then 2 steps forward again. So I think that's actually fair. We've been talking about Bears this first hour. I actually said in segment 1 at 2 p.m. that I don't think expectations really should be a part of this first year, because you've got Caleb Williams. He's the one. He's the one you want to spend your life with. He's that transcendent quarterback. He's the franchise quarterback. So having those expectations year one is kind of silly, considering that you're already in a better place as a football organization than maybe like 23, 24 teams maybe. I mean, there's only a handful of franchise quarterbacks. And I don't want to put that on him right now, but that we know that's what he's capable of. So we talked about that in segment 1. If you missed it at 2 p.m., go back, hit the rewind on the Odyssey app, or find it, I think, wherever you get your podcast at some point. I'm not actually sure if we're podcasting. Oh, we are podcasting this. Wherever you find your podcast. And then actually at 2:25, we talked about just some of the outside noise facing the Bears, a.k.a. Hard Knocks. That's going to be all off season long, baby.
That's going to make me laugh and every time.
Good. That's what it's supposed to do. My mom always says, beat the dead horse and then beat it some more. You know, it's always, even when it's not funny, it comes back to be funny again. So Hard Knocks is there. You've got the Hall of Fame game there. You've got the London game there. So we talked about that at 2:25. Find that. I think that that's actually a good thing nationally for the Bears, really, because I think it's been a little bit disrespectful how little coverage the Bears have been getting. But right now, let's talk about what a reasonable expectation for this team could be. If we're putting aside expectations and we say, like, all right, what is at least like a happy outcome look like? I think it's exactly what you got last year. Seven wins. I think anything more than 7, you should be elated. Double digits, it's outrageously good. 312-644-6767. Like I said, expectations from Bears fans, who I talk to all the time, have been all over the place. I've got Joe O. Joe O thinks this team is going to majorly regress. He is so far down betting against the Bears under on the win total and has been talking about it since that win total came out. You've got other people who think double-digit wins are absolutely an expectation. Some people think the improvement on the offense is enough. Some people want this team to win the division. To win the division in Caleb Williams' first year is an outrageous, asinine expectation. So let's talk really fast about how the Bears stack up to the NFC North as a whole. I think it's a slugfest. You've got two teams that were almost in the Super Bowl. The Packers were up multiple scores on the Niners. The Lions up multiple scores on the Niners. And the Lions are no longer that easy to win on the schedule anymore. They are a powerhouse, baby. They are stacked. I think they might have one of the best offenses in the league. And I think Jameson Williams is only going to get better now that Josh Reynolds isn't there. They continue to draft well. Their defense is getting better. Their secondary, while not as sexy as the Bears' secondary, is getting there. They continue to fill the holes that they need. They're the monsters now, right? But also, the Packers all of a sudden, when we thought that they were going to go and have some ice age years, they find themselves another franchise quarterback in Jordan Love. They were up, like I said, in the fourth quarter against the Niners in the divisional championship game. They were the youngest team in football. And then you've got, and I think the Packers only get better because they struggled in the first part of last season. And then you have the Vikings, who, with Brian Flores, elite defensively, really took a step. You still have Justin Jefferson there. You still have Jordan Addison there. You still have TJ Hawkinson there. So the division is very tough. If you go 3-3 in the North, I think it's a good year. I think if you go 4-2 in the North, you should be elated. So in the North, I think you're 3-4. I think that's where the Bears stack up. How do the Bears stack up in the NFC in total? This may be not a bit of cold water, but like you're seventh. That's just what it is. You've got the Niners, who are 12-5, and they went to the Super Bowl. They're going to be the team to beat. Are they injuries away from taking a step back? Sure. They're going to always have the target on their back when they've gone to, you know, two NFC title games in 3 years. You've got the Rams, that I think should be even better, 10-7. You've got Cowboys, 12-5. I think they take a step back, but not enough to be out of the playoffs. You've got the Eagles, who I think will be better. They went 11-6. But that, let's be honest, the Eagles were a dumpster fire last year. Like, I think they all hated each other. I think A.J. Brown at points wanted off that team. DeAndre Swift certainly didn't want to be there. The secondary was god-awful. It was weird. Like, the Eagles were weird last year, and they still won 11 games. Packers, 9-8, they will be much better. That's a double-digit win team. And their offense, I think, is going to be really interesting with Josh Jacobs. You've got the Lions, who are going to be just as good, if not better, 12-5. And then you've got the Buccaneers, which I think probably is kind of the demarcation line of the Bears. If you can achieve what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers achieved last year, who I think may fall down the standings a little bit with Baker Mayfield, I think if you could go 9-8 and get into the wild card and find yourself against a team that's in organizational dysfunction like the Eagles, who knows? That's not even accounting, though, for the 1-2 surprise teams that always show up. So I think you're seventh. Wild, wild west out there. So let's actually hit some break. We got Lawrence Holmes up next, though, from Bernstein and Holmes, 10-2, 312-644-6767. Let's see what Lawrence has to say. Maybe he's been listening. Maybe we got to get him up to speed and see if I'm out of touch in terms of how we should be having our minds wrapped around what we expect for the Bears next season. Trista Crick here. We'll be back right after this.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.